Our time is short, and I think we can just read this section because it's pretty well self-explanatory. I had a lot of notes, but I've been waxing eloquent and taking a little too much time. But just follow along with me. Let's take verse 17 and just read it because I think it's pretty explanatory. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who has received the promises was offering up his own son, his only begotten, only born son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. He considered that God, notice what Abraham considered. He considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. That if he had put the knife into Isaac, that God had made a promise that through Isaac, Abraham's descendants would multiply, and that therefore God would raise him from the dead. If that's what God had to do, he would raise him from the dead. Because God is able. God made promises. He was so strong on God's promises. God promised through Isaac that I would have a multitude of children. So if I run the knife through Isaac, then guess what? God will bring him back from the dead. That's what he has to do. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones, that his bones would be taken back to the promised land. He was not to be buried in Egypt. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. They trusted God again. Notice it's always through here. This is trusting God. They're living and making actions, doing things by trust, trusting God. They're not saved by their actions. They're saved by their trust, trusting God. Trusting God. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. From weakness they were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. And others were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yet also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword, they went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval with God. This is twice this is said, by the way. This was said back in verse 3, I believe it is. Approval with God. Pardon me, verse 2. Look at 11:2. For by it, that is by faith, the men of old gained approval. The men of old gained approval. Now go back to 39. And all these men, having gained approval through their faith. How do we gain approval with God? Through our faith, our trust, our belief. And our object of belief is Christ. We believe that He came and died for our sins. We gained approval with God. God therefore accepts us on the basis of our faith. We gained approval by faith. Yet they did not receive what was promised. They were just looking forward. They were believing God forward, but they did not receive all that was promised. And here's the reason why. Verse 40. Because God had provided something better for us. God had us in mind. Or God had the Jews of that are being written to here in this book of Hebrews in mind. God had a future plan in mind. And these folks were just passing through. Yet they were believing God in their journey. They were trusting God in their journey. And God gives them approval on the basis of their faith. How does God approve us? On the basis of our faith. That's how we gain our approval, if you will, with God. Verse 40, because God has provided something better for us, so that apart from us, the men of old, should not be made complete. They were still in the process. They were still part of the plan that was being unfolded. You follow that? They were part of the plan being unfolded. And that plan has come to fruition with the church age, following the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews, after the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, were blessed. We, sitting here in this room, we Gentiles, by our faith, by our trust in Christ, are blessed. We gain approval with God by our faith. So what's the key thought here? What's the key word? Trust, faith. We can't give God anything else but our trust. He had to work out the plan. He devised the plan. Christ carried it out. And apart from that, there is nothing. You know, I mean, what a blessing that God worked this out. Because there was nothing we could do to personally, by ourselves, please God. We just can't. We are so limited. We are so small. We don't believe that. We virtually think we're gods. Human beings think they can do anything until finally they're humbled. And by the way, if any of you all saw, I know Pat Buchanan and I did. I saw this afternoon Glenn Beck. And Glenn Beck is not a god, but he said it right this afternoon. He said on television, there's no way back. Just looking at the human level, unless God does something dramatic, we're in the generation that really all we can really do is just trust God. There's no way back. This nation is gone. And there's no way back. And so you and I, our trust is really going to be tested. We get saved by our trust in Christ. Now we're going to be living by our trust in Christ now. Really, really living it. Because if he's right, and many, many other analysts looking at the world scene are right, we're not going to go back. And so our faith is really going to be tested. Am I going to really walk and live by faith? And notice, look at verse 35 and 36 and 37. All that happened to the saints of the past. All that they went through. And who are we sitting in this room? Who are we? We better than they? So you and I can experience these things and worse that in the past have come upon believers. And remember, there is something better. God is taking all of this somewhere. And we're sloshing through the pain of this world. And Americans, and those of us sitting in this room, we really, yes, we have physical issues. We may lose a job here or there, but I mean, we don't know what pain really is. But I think we're going to experience it. This nation has shifted dramatically, and things are coming upon us that we're helpless. You and I are not going to make it happen. So our faith is really tested. But again, look at 40. This I want to close. Even for us today, God has provided something better. He worked with those saints of the Old Testament period, but he had us in mind, and now you and I may have to say he has other generations in mind. I mean, because we may be sacrificed. We may be sacrificial lambs, if you will. God has provided something better for us so that apart from us, they should not be made complete or whole. Those men were not made complete or whole. God, the plan goes on. God is carrying the whole plan somewhere else. And you and I are just living out part of that plan. God is taking it to a fruition. He's taking it to an end. And he's told us that it's going to get worse before it gets better. Now, you and I would love to be raptured out of here and not face the pain of what may be coming on us. If you've been watching what's going on the borders, and by the way, there's indications, good indications, that all the problems on the border are being stirred up by Hezbollah and the Arabs. And they're trying to do a pincer on America, coming in from different directions on this country. And the vast majority of the people of the country, they don't get it. They just don't get it. Well, our time is gone, and we'll pick up in chapter 12 next week, and we might be able to finish, but we may not. We'll see. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the time of friendship and closeness tonight in our fellowship and our time together. But especially, we thank you for the scriptures that are encouraging to us despite what may be coming upon our nation. And we grieve and we weep. We can remember a better day. And Lord, judgment often is due of people who disregard you, who take for granted the blessings that have come from your hand alone, not from our hands, not from our greatness and our technology and our smartness. But the blessings came from you. We did not acknowledge you that way. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. And he is our only hope. In his name we pray tonight. Amen.